Sri Ramakeli Gram is one of the very, very important places within our Sampradaya. Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis were living here in Ramakeli due to pressures of the king at the time, the great Islamic ruler, Nawab Hussain Shah. They were forced to take high positions in his government. However, they were always in their hearts very repentant for the work they were doing and always immersed in pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. The temple we were just in is the temple of Sri Radha Madan Mohan, which was worshipped by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And in order to always be immersed in the remembrance of Radha and Krishna, they excavated so many beautiful little areas to be replicas of Vrindavan. Actually, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami and their younger brother Anupam, they were so effective, so efficient in whatever work they did, that the Nawab Hussain Shah actually divided parts of his kingdom and gave them sizable property and tremendous amount of wealth. So what they did with their property is they excavated the places of Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna would have their leela. So just behind us is Radha Kund and Shama Kund, which were created by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And the name of the garden was Kadamba Kanana. Rupa and Sanatan were always immersed in chanting the holy names, and they would have Vaishnavas and great devotee pundits coming from all over India to come to study from them, because they were so deeply learned in the scriptures. They were writing letters regularly to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeking shelter of his lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to Ramakeli during his first attempted visit to Vrindavan. And he had big kirtan here in Ramakeli with hundreds and thousands of people. And at night, incognito, in disguise, Rupa, Sanatan Goswami, and they came here secretly, along with their brother Anupam, to have the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. First they met Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, and Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur brought them in for the audience of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And a beautiful narration took place wherein they completely humbled themselves before the Lord and surrendered their lives to Him. Lord Chaitanya embraced them, told them that you are breaking my heart with your humility. And he initiated them, giving them the names Rupa and Sanatan. Meanwhile, while this was happening, Jiva Goswami, who was just a little child, was watching where this temple is here. This temple, I believe, was actually constructed by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Here, Jiva Goswami, a little boy, was watching the beautiful pastimes between his father and Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jiva Goswami was the son of Anupam. So after this beautiful dialogue between them, Rupa Goswami prayed to Lord Chaitanya that in the present and in the future, so that people will always remember that you came here, please place your lotus feet on this piece of stone. So Lord Chaitanya placed his lotus feet on this stone and created these footprints that we see here today. So for now, we will all, because it's getting dark, take the dust of the footprints of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we can also have the darshan of Radha Kund and Shama Kund. We offer our blessings at the place where Jiva Goswami had his first darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we will continue our parikrama. This Kadamba tree that is behind us, and there's also a Tamil tree just behind that, is the same tree that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting. This is where he had big kirtan, which we'll discuss later. And this is the tree under which he was sitting when he first met Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. One of the most historical places within our sampradaya. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur constructed this nice temple around the original footprints of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. This beautiful lake was constructed under the direction of Srila Rupa Goswami. The house, which was a beautiful palatial residence, was just on the other side of this lake. And here Srila Rupa Goswami, in his intense separation from Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performed his bhajan during the morning and all night long. And then in the day he had to go to the courthouse. But Gauranga Prem does not like the courthouse. He more likes where Rupa Goswami did his worship and bhajan, which is his nature as a transcendental Vaishnava. Gauranga Prem Prabhu Ki! Several generations before the appearance of Srila Sanatan Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, the ancestry is described in Sri Bhakti Ratnakar. One of the great forefathers of Rupa and Sanatan was a very learned and highly realized Brahman, who was also the king of the province of Karnataka. He had tremendous wealth and at the same time very deep wisdom and faith. And the descendants of this great king, his Brahman children, ruled Karnataka for several generations. But at one time there was a conflict between two brothers, and the younger brother usurped the kingdom from the older brother. So that older brother migrated. And gradually his descendants came to what we now know as Bangladesh. One of such great descendants, his name was Kumaradeva, and he gave birth to Srila Sanatan Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, and Anupam. It is described when Sanatan Goswami was very young, once he had a dream. And in this dream, a very celestial Brahman gave him Srimad Bhagavatam and told him to study it very carefully. Srila Sanatana Goswami became so blissful to receive the Srimad Bhagavatam. But then he woke up, the dream was over, and there was no Srimad Bhagavatam. Later that day, the same Brahman came to his home and gave him a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, Sanatan Goswami began to scrutinizingly study Srimad Bhagavatam. And what bliss and ecstatic love he developed. His younger brother, Sri Rupa Goswami, also, from their very childhood, were very, very great devotees of Krishna. His father and mother were great devotees of Krishna. They became such powerful scholars that they mastered the Sanskrit language, the Persian language, the Bengali language, and various other dialects. And they would scrutinizingly study the various scriptures and always extract the essence of bhakti from them. They were so kind, compassionate, virtuous by nature, that everyone loved them and respected them. At that time, the king of Bengal, the Nawab Hussein Shah, he was ruling simply by force. He did not gain office by popular vote. He gained office by slaughtering, murdering, and conquering. But he wanted the support of his people, the majority of which were, of course, Hindus. So he decided that Rup and Sanatan and their younger brother Anupam, whose name was then Sri Ballabha, they were the most popular, most influential of all people within his kingdom. So he threatened them that if you do not accept the service that I give you, then I will create terrible persecution against the Vaishnavas. Whereas if you do, I will protect you and I will protect those who are dear to you. So Rup and Sanatan decided with a very heavy heart that it was the most compassionate thing to do to accept this service of the government. They did such a wonderful job. The Nawab Hussain Shah was so much depending on them just to encourage them. He gave them huge amounts of wealth, so much that they each had their own treasury. And he gave them big, big pieces of land. And he would not make any major decision in his whole kingdom without first consulting and getting advice from them. He put them on a very, very high position. And they lived here in Ramakeli Gram. And the Nawab Hussain Shah also had his capital here in Ramakeli Gram. So Rup and Sanatan Goswami, they performed their work, but they were so much absorbed in studying Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names of the Lord. They established this temple that we are sitting here now of Sri Sri Madan Mohan. And every day, with very, very great devotion, Rup, Sanatan, Anupam would personally worship these deities. And they would make wonderful offerings and have beautiful kirtans. They would have beautiful recitations of Bhagavatam. In fact, scholars from all over India would come to hear the dissertations of Rup and Sanatan Goswami. And they would invite especially devotees from Karnataka, and they would build beautiful houses for them along the bank of the Ganges, which flows close by. They were always so humbly anxious to serve the Vaishnavas. But in their hearts they considered themselves so fallen and low, because they were accepting this type of service. It is the nature of a Vaishnava to always feel oneself very humble. And that humility always attracts the heart of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The father of Rup and Sanatan would every day pray to Lord Krishna to somehow or other deliver his sons from having to do this service under the Malechas and Yavanas. Most fathers in this material world would be very proud if their sons were multi-billionaires with great, great power and huge properties. But he considered that it was condemned because they were not fully engaging all of their senses and mind in the service of Krishna, but rather they had to perform this work for a materialistic man. And the mother would express to them that Lord Krishna has appeared as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should write to him and receive shelter from him, that he can deliver you from this dilemma. So Rupa and Sanatan would regularly write to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Meanwhile, just to pacify their hearts and to also express their night's devotion, they created, in this secluded place that we are sitting now, beautiful gardens of Vrindavan, where they had little places where Krishna performed his lila. Shama Kund is just close to where this temple is, and Radha Kund. And they grew beautiful kadamba trees and tamal trees, the trees of Vrindavan. And in this way, they would meet with other Vaishnavas here, and continuously, whenever the opportunity was there, they would just be hearing and chanting the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna and chanting the holy name. Lord Chaitanya received several letters from Rupa and Sanatan, and finally he wrote back one. It was a simple message which said, just as a woman who is attracted with loving feelings toward another man other than her husband will serve her husband in such a way that he does not understand that the wife's heart is always thinking in great attachment to someone else. So Rupa and Sanatan were very intelligent. They understood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling us that we should continue our work and that Krishna would soon deliver us. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he was living in Jagannath Puri, after taking sannyas, he decided to go to Vrindavan, and many of his associates went with him. And it's a beautiful story. He went to Vidyanagar, and then he went to Kulia, to the house of Madhava Das. And by the time he was in Kulia, there were hundreds and thousands of people who were surrendered to him, traveling with him wherever he went. And he came toward the road, and he was approaching this place called Ramakeli. It is described as Lord Chaitanya was dancing and chanting. So many people were following and chanting and dancing. Nobody could give up his association. Everywhere he would step, oftentimes people would just take the dust from his feet. So much dust that there were holes in the road. And it is described that when he was just outside the village of Ramakeli, he was sitting down and he was weeping, and people could hear that weeping from 2 miles away. It was so beautiful, but at the same time so piteous, that people from all directions would come to see, who is this? What is this? And when they would see the beauty of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crying in separation from Krishna in Vrindavan, they would become so much melted in their hearts. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with tears of love in his eyes, he would look at them and he would raise his arms and tell them to chant the holy names of Krishna. And whoever saw the Lord they took that instruction as their life and soul. And everyone began chanting the holy names of Krishna. And soon thousands and hundreds and thousands of people were chanting the holy names of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased to see this. He would raise his arms higher and higher and he would say, Hari Om, Hari Om. At this time they were all pure devotees. And then all of the people, they were dancing and dancing and singing, and Mahaprabhu would just raise his arms, Hari Om. And Mahaprabhu would start dancing with them, and they would start dancing and crying. It was so beautiful of a scene. And with this kirtan procession, he entered into Ramkeli Gram. Very dangerous situation. Because the palace of the Nawab Hussain Shah is in Ramkeli Gram. And he was famous, or I would say infamous, for being such a violent, terrible person. He hated Hindus. He outlawed any public practice of any Hindu rituals. What to speak of Sankirtan? Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they called their area Gupta Vrindavan. They called it Gupta Vrindavan because it was a secret from their own boss, the king now of Hussain Shah. But here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing and singing into Ramakeli. People were thinking that what will the Nawab Hussain Shah do? When he went to Orissa, where people actually were allowed to practice Hinduism, he destroyed millions of temples. He destroyed millions of deities. He killed so many millions of Hindus. He's a treacherous, terrible person. But when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, dancing ecstatically with tears of love in his eyes into Ramakeli, he just raised his arms and said, Hariyo! And whoever saw him would become completely fearless. And everyone started coming forward and dancing with their arms raised, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Not only the Hindus, but even the Muslims. Thousands, tens and thousands, Muslims, Hindus, everyone. They were all just dancing with Lord Chaitanya, looking at his beautiful golden form with their arms raised, chanting the holy name. Ramkeli Gram, all that could be heard in the four directions was the loud chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. There was just dancing and dancing and singing and chanting, and every single Hindu, everyone. What to speak of the Muslims? How they must have been afraid that Nawab Hussain Shah is going to see them dancing and singing the names of Hindus. But even the Muslims. Thousands, tens and thousands. Muslims, Hindus, everyone. They were all just dancing with Lord Chaitanya, looking at his beautiful golden form with their arms raised, chanting the holy name. Ramkeli Gram, all that could be heard in the four directions was the loud chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. There was just dancing and dancing and singing and chanting, and every single Hindu, everyone. What to speak of the Muslims? How they must have been afraid that Nawab Hussain Shah is going to see them dancing and singing the names of Krishna. Everyone became completely fearless. No one even remembered that the Nawab Hussein Shah even existed. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting in Ramakeli, he did not know whether he was on the land, whether he was in the air, whether he was in the water. He did not know whether he was in a village or a city. He didn't even know he had a body. And in the same way, he transported everyone's consciousness like this. People forgot their homes. They forgot their families. They forgot that they had material bodies. All they could think of was the holy name of Krishna.
Krishna! 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 Krishna!
One policeman, he went to the Nawab Hussein Shah in his palace. And he said, there is a sannyasi who has come to our kingdom. And I think he's chanting the name of some sort of a ghost. I've never seen anyone like this. There are hundreds and thousands of people following him, all singing and dancing in Sankirtan. The Nawab Hussein Shah asked, who is this person? What is the form of his body? Where does he come from? What is he doing? And the policeman said, he's a sannyasi. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he has a beautiful form that is more luminous and splendorous than pure gold. Very, very tall. His arms extend below his knees. He has beautiful lotus eyes that stretch to his ears, a wonderful nose, and lips that are brilliantly red. His teeth are like rows of pearls. His eyebrows are like the arched bows of Cupid, Kamadev. He has a neck like a lion, shoulders like elephant. He has a broad chest. His waist is very thin, and his navel is very deep. Tears are flowing from his eyes. He has a beautiful saffron robe of a sannyasi. Such beauty no one has ever seen. His limbs, they are as soft as butter. But yet, within a half hour, hundreds of times he jumps up and falls to the ground, and whenever he falls down to the ground, all the stones break into pieces. And yet his body is so soft, and it is never injured. I cannot tell you how many rivers are flowing from his beautiful lotus-like eyes, and his face is more brilliant than millions and millions of moons. His limbs are trembling. They are trembling in such a way that hundreds of people cannot hold him still. And as he's calling out the holy names of the Lord, there are hundreds and thousands of people who are chanting along with him. His hairs are standing on end. No one can give up his association. Everyone in our kingdom, practically, the Hindus and the Muslims as well, given up their families, they've given up their home, they've given up eating, they've given up sleeping. Day and night, all they do is dance and chant with this great sannyasi, calling out the holy names of Lord Krishna. Kingdom is dancing and dancing and dancing and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Said, my dear king, I think that your kingdom is very, very fortunate that such a saintly person has come. I have seen many yogis and many philosophers and many gurus and many saintly people, but no one is so beautiful and so filled with love of God as this person. After giving this report, the policeman departed. And then the Nawab Hussain Shah called upon Keshava Khan, who was one of his ministers. And he asked Keshava Khan, I have heard some news that a sannyasi named Sri Krishna Chaitanya has come to our kingdom, and that there are hundreds and thousands of people following him. Please tell me what you know about this person. Now, Keshava Khan was a very great soul, and he knew everything about Lord Chaitanya, but he was very fearful of the king's violent nature. So he said, my dear king, please do not believe what so many people are saying. I know this sannyasi. He's come from some other country. Person has come to our kingdom and you are calling him a beggar? This is a great offense. This great personality, he has come to bless our kingdom. I may be the king of this little kingdom and I may have a few subjects, but he is the king of all kings. He is the king of all the universes. And every living being is his subject. If I do not pay my servants for 6 months, they will complain so much against me. But this king, he comes to my kingdom, and people have to arrange for their own meals. He doesn't give them any place to sleep. But yet, they forget their homes, they forget their families, they forget themselves. Simply to serve him. He has come to spread the Sankirtan movement out of his great causeless mercy to all living beings. And therefore I declare this proclamation today that anyone who in any way, whether he is a qazi or a policeman, disturbs this great sannyasi, Lord Chaitanya, from spreading the glories of the holy name, I will personally take the life of that troublemaker. That this is the law I declare, that Sri Krishna Chaitanya is given all facilities to preach whatever he wants to preach and chant whatever names he wants to chant anywhere and everywhere he wants to go. And when this news came out, all the saintly people became very blissful. And everyone was just chanting and chanting in kirtan. The Nawab Hussain Shah then called for Srila Rupa Goswami. And he asked Rupa Goswami, can you tell me anything about this Sri Krishna Chaitanya? And Rupa Goswami said, he is the Supreme Lord. He is the personality of Godhead. He is the ultimate object of everyone's worship. It is only by his blessings that you have the opulence and power that you have. And it is only by his blessings that you will conquer other lands and be successful in your mission. But you are the king. King is supposed to be the representative of God. So I will say to you that I think you should examine within your own mind who Lord Chaitanya really is. And the Nawab Hussain Shah said, yes, I have examined in my mind and I have accepted
that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! This is the power of even hearing the glories of Lord Chaitanya. The Nawab Hussain Shah didn't even see him. He just heard about him from a policeman. And from Rupa Goswami. And just by hearing about him, his violent nature became pacified. And he had full faith and devotion. Full faith that he was the Supreme Lord. And respected him with great honor. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya was outside chanting and dancing with all of the devotees. But some of the saintly persons were thinking, this is not safe. Because the Nawab Hussain Shah, he was such a violent person, he has such a terrible past history, that somehow or other, by hearing the glories of Lord Chaitanya, he's in the mode of goodness. But if somebody tells him something else, he may again become in the mode of ignorance, and then he can do great terrible harm. So better the Lord leaves Ramakeli Gram. So they wrote a letter. Why do you stay in this village that is so close to the palace of the king? And they gave it to a Brahmin to give to Lord Chaitanya. Meanwhile, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here in Ramakeli Gram underneath this Kadamba tree. It was under this Kadamba tree that His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj and His Holiness Nityodita Maharaj, His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj were dancing and singing and jumping so beautifully. That same exact place, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is eternally raising His arms with hundreds and thousands of people chanting the holy name. As Gauranga Mahaprabhu was dancing and singing under this beautiful Kadamba tree, the Brahmin was waiting to give him the message. However, Lord Chaitanya, when he was absorbed in kirtan, he would not consider the existence of anything but Krishna's holy name and the Vaishnavas. He was so engrossed. Day went by, night went by. For days and nights and days and nights and days and nights, Lord Chaitanya and all these hundreds and thousands of people were just chanting and dancing. None of them considered eating. None of them considered sleeping. None of them considered drinking water. None of them considered that they were tired. None of them considered that there was even a material existence. Because under the intoxicating influence of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, they were all immersed in Harinam Sankirtan. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do kirtan, he would not speak to anyone, not even his most intimate associates, or to speak of a Brahmin with a message. He was just chanting and dancing in great love. The Brahmin stood there for some days. Finally, he gave the message to one of Lord Chaitanya's very close devotees and said, please give this message to Lord Chaitanya. Why do you stay in this village so close to the palace of the king? And then the Brahmin offered repeated obeisances at the feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and departed. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was just watching everyone chanting and wanted them to chant louder and chant with more great devotion, and he would raise his arms and call out, Hariya! Hariya! The devotees were just chanting. They were so pleased to see how the Lord was converting everyone's heart to pure devotion. But then a little trace of concern entered into the devotees' hearts. What about this Nawab Hussain Shah? When Lord Chaitanya detected that, he stopped the kirtan. And he exclaimed with a very bold voice, he said, what do you have to fear? I am the king of all kings. What harm can this king do to me? He said, I have descended into this world so that people could come to see me and hear from me. I will very much welcome if the king wants to come to hear from me. If I do not give him the power to speak, he cannot call me. If I do not give him the power to walk, he cannot come to me. He said, I have descended into this world to deliver everyone with Krishna Prema. Even the Yavanas, even the Malechas, even the most sinful of all sinners, I have come to give them all Krishna Prema. I will give love of God to everyone with the exception of those who are too much proud of their high learning, their high birth, their great wealth. Those proud people, they will not accept my mercy. But to all others, I will give that chance to achieve love of God. I have come to deliver the world. And it was this place in Sri Ramakeli Gram that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke the famous words that is our life and soul. He said, in every town and village throughout this world, my name will be chanted. Srila Prabhupada ki! Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki! Lord Chaitanya then was seated under this tree with several of his associates. Meanwhile, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami, and Anupam. At that time, Rupa Goswami's name was Dabir Khas, and Sanatan Goswami's name was Sakar Malik. This was names that the Nawab Hussain Shah personally gave them because they had very responsible position in the Mughal government. They contemplated and decided in the middle of the night, incognito, which means secretly, they will go to see Lord Chaitanya. So in the middle of the night, without anyone seeing, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Anupam came to this beautiful Kadamba tree and Tamal tree where Lord Chaitanya was sitting. At first they met Nityananda Prabhu, then Haridas Thakur. And Nityananda and Haridas took them before Lord Chaitanya. And Rup Sanatan, in great, great humility, they took straw between their teeth and wrapped cloth around their necks and offered their prostrated obeisances, falling like rods to the ground at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted them up, and they offered these beautiful prayers. These prayers of Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami are the standard that every devotee aspires to emulate within his or her own hearts. Please listen very carefully to these prayers. They have been worshipped by all of our acharyas. And especially in this holy place we are sitting today, where these prayers were personally spoken by Rupa and Sanatana, there is great potency. Sir, Jaya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dayamai, Patita Pavana Jaya Jaya Mahashai. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful savior of the fallen souls. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sir, we belong to the lowest class of men, and our associates in employment are also of the lowest type. Therefore, we cannot introduce ourselves to you. We feel very much ashamed standing here before you. Dear Lord, let us inform you that no one is more sinful than us, nor is there any offender like us. Even if we wanted to mention our sinful activities, we would immediately become ashamed, and what to speak of giving them up? Both brothers submitted. Dear Lord, you have incarnated to deliver the fallen souls. You should consider that in this world there is none so fallen as us. You have delivered the two brothers, Jagai and Madhai, but to deliver them you did not have to exert yourself very much. The brothers Jagai and Madhai belonged to the Brahmin caste, and their residence was in the holy place of Navadvip. They never served low-class persons, nor were they instruments to abominable activities. Jagai and Madhai had but one fault. They were addicted to sinful activity. However, volumes of sinful activity can be burned to ashes simply by the dim reflection of the chanting of your holy name. Jagai and Madhai uttered your holy name by the way of blaspheming you. Fortunately, that holy name became the cause of their deliverance. We too are millions and millions of times inferior to Jagai and Madhai. We are more degraded, fallen, and sinful than they. Actually, we belong to the caste of meat-eaters because we are servants of meat-eaters. Indeed, our activities are exactly like those of meat-eaters because we are always associating with such people. We are inimical toward the cows and the Brahmins. The two brothers, Sakar Malik and Dabir Khas, very humbly submitted that due to their abominable activities, they were now bound by the neck and hands and had been thrown into a ditch filled with abominable stool-like objects of material sense enjoyment. No one within the three worlds is sufficiently powerful to deliver us. You are the only savior of the fallen souls. Therefore, there is no one but you. If you simply deliver us by your transcendental strength, then certainly your name will be known as the savior of the fallen souls. Let us speak one word that is very true. Plainly hear us. O merciful one, there is no other object of mercy within the three worlds but us. We are the most fallen. Therefore, by showing us your mercy is most successful. Let the power of your mercy be exhibited throughout the entire universe. Let us submit one piece of information before you. Dear Lord, it is not at all false, but it is full of meaning. It is this. If you are not merciful upon us, then it will be very, very difficult to find more suitable candidates for your mercy. We are very depressed at being unfit candidates for your mercy. Yet since we have heard of your transcendental qualities, we are very much attracted to you. Indeed, we are like a dwarf who wants to capture the moon. Although we are completely unfit, a desire to receive your mercy is awakening within our minds. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? After hearing the prayer of Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Dabir Khas, you two brothers are my old servants. My dear Sakar Malik, from this day your names will be changed to Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatan. Now please abandon your humility, for my heart is breaking to see you so humble. You have written several letters showing your humility. I can understand your behavior,
from those letters. By your letters I could understand your heart. Therefore, in order to teach you, I sent you one verse which reads as follows. If a woman is attached to a man other than her husband, she will appear very busy in carrying out her household affairs. But within her heart, she is always relishing feelings of association with her paramour. I really had no business in coming to Bengal, but I have come just to see you two brothers. Everyone is asking why I have come to this village of Ramkeli. No one knows my intentions. It is very good that you two brothers have come to see me. Now you can go home. Do not fear anything. Birth after birth, you have been my eternal servants. I am sure that Krishna will deliver you very soon. The Lord then placed his two hands on the heads of both of them, and in return they immediately placed the lotus feet of the Lord on their heads. After this, the Lord embraced both of them and requested all of the devotees present to be merciful upon them and deliver them. When all the devotees saw the mercy of the Lord upon the two brothers, they were very much gladdened, and they began to chant the holy name of the Lord, Hari, Hari. All the Vaishnava associates of the Lord were present, including Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda, Jagadananda Pandit, Murari, and Brakreshwar. In accordance with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, immediately touched the lotus feet of these Vaishnavas, who all became very happy and congratulated the two brothers for having received the mercy of the Lord. After begging the permission of all the Vaishnavas present, the two brothers at the time of their departure humbly submitted something at the lotus feet of the Lord. They said, Dear Lord, although the king of Bengal, Nawab Hussain Shah, is very respectful toward you, you have no other business here. Kindly depart from this place. Although the king is respectful toward you, he still belongs to the Yavana class and should not be believed. We think that there is no need for such a great crowd to accompany you on your pilgrimage to Vrindavan. Dear Lord, you are going to Vrindavan with hundreds and thousands of people following you, and this is not a befitting way to go on a pilgrimage. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Sri Krishna himself, the Supreme Lord, and was therefore not at all fearful, he still acted like a human being to teach neophytes how to act. Having spoken thus, the two brothers offered prayers to the lotus feet of the Lord and returned to their homes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then desired to leave that village. In the morning, the Lord left and went to a place known as Kanai Natashala, where there he saw many pastimes of Lord Krishna. That night, the Lord considered Sanatana Goswami's proposal that he should not go to Vrindavan, followed by so many people. The Lord thought, if I go to Mathura, with such crowds behind me, it would not be a happy situation, for the atmosphere would be disturbed. The Lord concluded that he would go alone to Vrindavan, or at most would take only one person as his companion. In that way, going to Vrindavan would be very pleasant. Thinking like this, the Lord took his morning bath in the Ganges and started for Neelachala, saying, I shall go there.
Meanwhile, Rupa Goswami and Anupam and Sanatan Goswami were thinking how to leave the government post and go to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya invited them to go to Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they just left all their government service. And they took all of their wealth and put it in boats. They had so much gold and so much opulence. And Rupa Goswami went, and first of all, half of it he distributed it to the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas to propagate Krishna consciousness. And then 1/4 of it he gave to his relatives, and another part he kept for emergency. Then he sent 2 messengers to Jagannath Puri to find out when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to leave for Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Rupa and Anupam left. Sanatan Goswami felt obliged to stay for some time with the Nawab Husain Shah. He didn't want to just leave him. He wanted the Nawab Husain Shah to fire him. So what he did is he stopped going to his office. So Sanatan Goswami, he lived just behind where most of you are sitting. There is Rupa Sagara, where Rupa Goswami built a beautiful lake, and his house was just next to that. And behind that was Sanatan Sagar, where Sanatan Goswami had built a beautiful lake, and his house was there. So Sanatan Goswami, but he would do his worship here. He decided that, actually, Rupa and Sanatan both, they hired Brahmins, and they paid them lots of money to do pujas and chant the holy names of Krishna to help give them the power to escape from the Nawab Husain Shah and go to Vrindavan. So Sanatan Goswami invited 20 or 30 very learned devotees, and all day long he would just sit here and hear and speak the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he told the Nawab Husain Shah that he was sick and he could not do his service. Well, many days went by, and the Nawab Husain Shah couldn't properly manage his kingdom without Sanatan Goswami. So one day he showed up here to see what was Sanatan Goswami's condition. And what condition did he see? He saw Sanatan Goswami in complete ecstasy discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, and his whole house became like an ashram with all these saintly persons just completely immersed in Srimad Bhagavat Katha. The Nawab Husain Shah was furious. He said, "What are you doing? What is this? I have sent doctor and he has checked you and he told me there's nothing wrong with you." He said, "I need you to go back to your service." Sanatan Goswami said, "I will no longer go back into my government service. Today I resign." The Nawab Husain Shah was very angry. He was talking about himself, because he felt that Sanatan and Rupa was like his younger brothers. He actually had such an affectionate, intimate relationship with them. Talking about himself, he said, "Your elder brother is a plunderer who murders and conquers wherever he goes." He said, "I am about to declare war on the state of Orissa and conquer that land, and I require you to take care of all the administration of the state of Bengal. So you must continue your service." Sanatan Goswami told him that he would not return. He said, "You are the king. You are the ruler of this land. You have every right to punish anyone however you please." The Nawab Husain Shah was so disgusted and so depressed by this, he stormed out of the house. And then he ordered Sanatan Goswami to be put in prison. Sanatan Goswami was put in shackles in a prison house. And that prison house is still here. It is approximately 6 kilometers from this place. Sanatan Goswami was put in prison, and then the Nawab Husain Shah left with his armies for Orissa. So it's here in Ramakeli Gram that this wonderful, famous pastime took place. Rupa Goswami sent the 2 servants to Jagannath Puri to find out. And they came back and said, Lord Chaitanya has already left for Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they immediately left for Vrindavan to meet Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami sent Sanatana Goswami a message here. He said that our Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already gone to Vrindavan. We should also go. Get out of jail. I have left 10,000 gold coins with a local grocer in Ramkeli Gram. And he can give you that money to bribe the jail guards. So Sanatana Goswami, he said to the guard of the prison, you are a very learned man, and you are very saintly, and you are very wise in your understanding of the Quran and various other religious scriptures. So you know that freeing a person from conditioned life or releasing a person from prison is a very virtuous and pious act. So you should free me from this prison, and I will give you 5,000 gold coins. And then he put 5,000 gold coins in the hands of this jail guard. And he said, yes, I know it's a virtuous act, but what will Nawab Hussain Shah say? Sanatana Goswami told him a good story to tell. He said, you tell the Nawab Hussain Shah, when he returns, that you took me to the riverbank to pass stool. And as I was passing stool, I jumped in the river Ganges with all of my shackles on, and I drowned and were swept away with the waves and could not be found. And the Nawab Hussain Shah will never find me. So you don't have to fear, because I am going to Mecca on pilgrimage. And then Sanatana Goswami gave him another so many thousands of gold coins in his hands. And when he saw those gold coins, he cut the shackles of Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami escaped from Sri Ramkeli Gram. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki Jai Gopremani.
Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radhe. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radhe. Sanatana Brandana He, Sanatana Brandana He, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radhe. Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radhe. Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radhe. Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Radhe. Rupa Goswami Brandana He, Rupa Goswami Brandana He, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Radhe. Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe. Jeev Goswami Prandana E. Jeev Goswami Prandana E. Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe. Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Sri Jiva Gopalaka. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Sri Jiva Gopalaka. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Siddhiva Gopala Go.
Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis exhibited extreme humility when they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here. And when Sanatan Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also expressed extreme humility. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is the omniscient personality of Godhead, and he knew that Sanatan Goswami was coming to meet him. And he informed his devotees that Sanatan Goswami would be arriving shortly. But because Sanatan Goswami was traveling in the interior so he would not be caught, he was dressed in very shabby garments and he was not able to shave. So when he arrived at the residence of Chandrasekhar, he looked like a beggar. And so the devotees informed Lord Chaitanya that some beggar has come to the door. But Lord Chaitanya knew that it was Sanatan Goswami, and he immediately rushed to welcome him. He told him to take bath and shave. But Srila Prabhupada comments is a good instruction for hippies. He felt that Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatan Goswami were very relevant. So Sanatan Goswami did so. But although he was wearing just torn cloth, he had one costly shawl that his uncle had given him, whom he had met on the way to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said nothing about it, but he just glanced at it. So Sanatan Goswami understood that Lord Chaitanya does not approve of my costly shawl. So when he went to take bath at the river, he saw one old quilt made of just different odd pieces of cloth sewn together. So he saw the poor man who owned the quilt, and he told him that, "You please give me your quilt and I will give you my shawl."
So the poor man thought Sanatana Goswami was joking with him, making fun. But Sanatana Goswami was actually serious. And so very happily the poor man got the costly shawl in exchange for the torn quilt. When Sanatana Goswami returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. He said that you have renounced everything, you are living like a mendicant, and if you keep one costly shawl, what will people think of you? They will laugh. So Lord Chaitanya did not allow his devotees to harbor even the slightest attachments for material opulence. Anyway, Sanatana Goswami was so humble that when he ultimately wanted to inquire from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also again took straw between his teeth and very humbly submitted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that ordinary persons call me learned, pundit. But I'm so learned that I do not know even who I am. And I'm so foolish that when people call me learned, I actually believe them. So Sanatana Goswami asks, Ke Ami, who am I? Why have I come to this world? Why am I suffering? How can I get out of the suffering? What is the goal of life? And what is the means to attain the goal? Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in describing the inquiries of Sanatana Goswami to Lord Chaitanya, says that Sanatana Goswami was given the strength and intelligence by the Lord to make such inquiries. And just as Lord Krishna imparted knowledge to Lord Brahma at the beginning of creation, similarly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Chaitanya, imparted the conclusive truths of Vedic knowledge to Sanatana Goswami. Of course, the instructions of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami are very elaborate. But I will describe the beginning of Lord Chaitanya's answer. Ke Ami, who am I? Lord Chaitanya explained, Jive Swarupai Krishna Nityadas, that the constitutional position of the living entity is he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Why am I suffering? The living entity suffers in the material world because of forgetfulness of his eternal relationship with God or Krishna. And how can he become free from suffering? He can become free from suffering by reviving his eternal relationship with God or Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya explained that there are three divisions in Vedic knowledge called Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means relationship. So the Vedic scriptures give information that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the living entities are fragmental parts and parcels of Lord Krishna, and their eternal function is to serve him. Lord Chaitanya then explained that the ultimate goal of life is to develop pure love for Krishna. and that the way to attain the goal of pure love of Krishna is to practice devotional service. Lord Chaitanya told the story of a poor man who was suffering very greatly in poverty. But one astrologer visited him and told him that actually you are not a poor man. Actually, you are a rich man. Your father has left you a great treasure. But unfortunately, he died before he could tell you where the treasure was hidden. Then the astrologer told the poor man that the treasure is buried right here in your garden. But don't dig on the southern side. Don't dig on the eastern side. Don't dig on the northern side. Because on each of the three sides there will be interference. There are wasps and drones that will bite you. There are ghosts that will haunt you. And thus, you should dig on the eastern side. And if you dig on the eastern side very quickly, your hands will touch the treasure. And by the treasure, you will be able to enjoy immense amounts of happiness, and all of the misery of poverty will go away. Now, what is the purport of the story? Lord Chaitanya explained that by informing the poor man of the treasure left by his father, the astrologer was giving knowledge to the poor man of his relationship with the treasure, telling him, don't dig on the southern side, don't dig on the western side, don't dig on the northern side. He was telling him, don't engage in karma yoga, don't engage in jnana yoga, don't engage in astanga yoga. But dig on the eastern side, or in other words, engage in bhakti yoga. Because if you try to get the treasure, which is the ultimate goal, pure love of Godhead, by any other process, you will simply face so many difficulties and you will not be successful. But if you try to attain the treasure of love of Krishna by the process of pure devotional service, very quickly you will reach the treasure. And when you attain the treasure of pure love of Krishna, you will enjoy tremendous spiritual bliss. And all the miseries of material existence will go away. So the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami are explained in four chapters in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first two chapters deal with sambandha gyan, knowledge of Krishna and our relationship with him. And Lord Chaitanya describes the opulence of Krishna and the sweetness of Krishna. Then the third chapter describes the process of devotional service, or abhideya, which is the means to achieve life's ultimate goal. And the fourth chapter describes life's ultimate goal, which is pure love of Godhead. So we in ISKCON are following the process of devotional service as instructed by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami and to Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya first described what pure devotional service is, and then he described 64 items of regulative devotional service. And out of the 64 items, there are 20 preliminary items. And we are actually practicing what Lord Chaitanya instructed to Sanatana Goswami. And of the first 20 preliminary items, three are the most important. And that is to take shelter of a spiritual master, to take initiation from the spiritual master, and to serve the spiritual master. And so many other items, even some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers commented how brilliantly Srila Prabhupada had incorporated so many of the different items of devotional service in the daily lives of the ISKCON devotees. When we visited Allahabad with Srila Prabhupada during the Ardha Kumbh Mela in 1971, Srila Prabhupada visited the Gaudiya Math there, Rupa Goswami Gaudiya Math. And there, Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers had seen Srila Prabhupada's summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu called The Nectar of Devotion. And they had compared The Nectar of Devotion to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and they were so impressed how Srila Prabhupada had translated the essence of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And they were equally impressed that Srila Prabhupada had incorporated so many of the 64 items as regular daily activities in the lives of the devotees in ISKCON. Anyway, out of all the 64 items, five are considered the most potent, and we are experiencing them. Sadhu Sangha, the association of devotees, especially advanced devotees. Nama Kirtana, the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Bhagavat Shravana, hearing the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mathura Vasa, residing in a holy place like Mathura or Vrindavan or Navadvip or any ISKCON temple. And worshipping the deity with faith and veneration. And Lord Chaitanya explained that even by a slight association with even one of the five principal items of devotional service, one can awaken dormant love for Krishna. So on the yatra, on the parikrama, we are actually engaging in all five of the most potent forms of devotional service. We're associating with devotees, we're chanting the holy names of Krishna, we're hearing the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, we're having darshan of so many deities, offering obeisances, offering prayers, taking charanamrita, taking prasad, and we are living in holy places. We are walking in holy places. And we are actually feeling the awakening of ecstatic love for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has actually given us the most essential teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. And if we follow the instructions as promised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, we will awaken to pure love of Godhead. But there is one condition, Lord Chaitanya explains, there is one condition, and that is one must be free from offenses. If one is free from offenses and engages in the five potent forms of devotional service, he will very quickly achieve ecstatic love for Krishna. So being so nicely engaged in chanting and hearing about Krishna, and being constantly reminded about the value of association with devotees and service to devotees, we have very little scope to commit offenses against other devotees. And at least we should be extremely careful not to. And in such an atmosphere, without committing offenses, always engaging in hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees, we are actually experiencing some beginning, at least, of love of Godhead. And by continued association, by continued hearing and chanting, by continued visits to holy places and temples, seeing deities and offering obeisances, we will actually be able to taste the juice of the fruit of love of Godhead, which is the actual goal of the cultivation of devotional service. So we're very glad we could finally join you here. I was in Vrindavan teaching one course at the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, and the name of the course was The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And now, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, I've come to the very spot where Rupa and Sanatana Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he blessed them. He blessed them with transcendental knowledge, and he empowered them to preach. So we should try to follow in their footsteps. First of all, to become humble, like they were as they approached their spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to receive transcendental knowledge and to preach the same knowledge for the benefit of the conditioned soul. So this is our line. The whole essence of our line is exemplified here in the meeting of Rupa and Sanatana with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the blessings that Lord Chaitanya gave them to understand transcendental knowledge and then write books and preach so others could also achieve the same perfection. Well, one important fact, when Sanatana Goswami met Lord Chaitanya for the second time in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya gave further instructions to Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya declared that of all the processes of devotional service, the single most important process is the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.